Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Radio Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriage between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, thank you for joining us. Hi, Misty. How are you?
I'm good, Bonnie. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. I want to wish Happy Mother's Day to all our women who are listening to us.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody, too.
I know this is an important day for mothers and a very difficult day for women who are mothers who are going through this whole trauma with their gay husbands. And tonight we're going to be dedicating some time to discuss about issues that women have to go through when they have a gay husband. That's so much different than what women go through when they have a straight husband, because I think the dynamics are very different. Have you found that in your lifetime there, Misty?
Oh, yes. I think different may be an understatement, Bonnie. It's so different. It is so different. And I don't think many, and I'm going to even include professionals in the field, the mental health field, support systems, a lot of them don't understand the difference in the complexities that this issue adds and the layers of complication that come about because you discover you're married to a gay man. Very
right, and we do want to mention to women who are seeing any kind of counselors or therapists that if you are seeing someone who's really not that familiar with this issue, please give them my email at bonk@aol.com, because I do have several therapists each week writing to me because they want to learn more about this because they're really not trained for this. And unless you really are familiar with all the issues that we have to go through, it's really hard to counsel people to give them good advice because it's such a different dynamic. And also, excuse me, we would like to invite our callers to listen, to any of our callers who would like to call in to discuss your situation, to please join us tonight because we'd like to hear how you feel about the situation. And our number is area code 646-716-4893. So if you would like to discuss how you feel as a mother having to deal with this, and all the extra issues that you have to first, you know, deal with as a mother of children who have a gay father, or if you're a woman who would like to sit and discuss why these kinds of divorces are so much different, please call in and we'd be happy to take your calls and add you to our discussion. So let's talk about some of the differences, Misty, that women have to, first of all, go through. Why is it so much different when you have a gay husband than when you have a straight husband? I mean, straight people get divorced all the time. So why is this kind of divorce different?
Wow. Where do we begin? It's so different on so many different levels. It's so hard to even compare to, when two straight people are getting a divorce. Yes, there's also loss and grief involved when two straight people get a divorce. However, oftentimes I found with myself and with the women I work with how difficult it is because they're trying to fit themselves into that mold of straight divorces. And it's just so difficult. They expect themselves to be through and over and finished with grief. They put a lot of expectations on themselves when there's so many things you have to process, so many things that you have to deal with. Number one being the biggest one is just that your husband is gay. That's something that has such a tremendous impact. I know I think all the women I work with, past and presently, and including myself, I think all of us remember when we discovered, when we found out. It's a day that's forever etched into our memory. We know everything about that day. And
I know, Misty, but let me ask you this question, because I have people ask me this a lot. They say to me, don't you feel better that you know your husband's gay than if he were straight and cheating on you, that he's gay and cheating on you? Doesn't that give you some sense of comfort? And I always tell them, no, it doesn't give me any comfort. But, you know, some women do feel that at least they can't personalize it because it's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the overwhelming majority of women really do feel no better that it's a man. I think they feel worse.
I agree with you 100% right there. I remember coming out of my divorce, a very dear family friend, she said to me, she'd go through a divorce as well. She said, well, you know, it's so much easier because your ex-husband was gay. It's so much easier knowing that than knowing that he left or he was with another woman. And I have to disagree with that. That's so not true for, I would say, 90% of our women. That's so not true because there's so much stigma attached to being gay. And you have to remember, even though this is the year 2010, there's still many myths around being gay in our culture, in our society, in our religions, and all those things that are in our communities and in our background and our heritage. So some women still believe that they've caused their husband to be gay.
Right. I was going to bring that up to you as a first point. If you could talk a little bit about the guilt that women go through.
Wow. I think I was the travel agent for guilt trips. I booked myself a guilt trip every day during the marriage.
No, as far as like when they find out, like when you find out that your husband's gay, I know that a lot of our women, they feel, what did I do wrong? What
exactly.
could I have done that he didn't want me anymore, that he would have turned
exactly.
to men? Because I know that I felt that way.
I felt that way, and I'm going to even back up a little bit, Bonnie. I felt that way the moment I started thinking that my now ex-husband was gay. I put myself through so much guilt because I was so mad at myself. How dare I think that about someone else? How dare I accuse someone of something like that? I felt like I was, you know, on the witch hunt, you know, the Salem witch hunt. I was accusing someone so wrong of something. But, you know, I wasn't listening to my intuition. So I internalized it as being my fault, and I accepted guilt from that, which did not add to my self-esteem. It did not add to my happiness. It only just made my misery greater. And then the guilt of going, you know, let's go forward a few years into my marriage, the guilt of the divorce. Even though at that time, and this is how powerful this type of situation is, even though at that time, you know, I was a psychology major, I had studied a lot with, you know, the thought patterns, behaviors, and all this and that, that degree didn't help me any at that time going through this situation because I still believed that there was a part of me that must have done something to cause him to be gay and the marriage to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful situation to be in.
And did your ex-husband ever blame you?
Oh, well, I can't say he blamed me for him being gay because he never admitted to me that he was gay. So he didn't have that opportunity to blame me for that. But what he did blame me for was all the failings of the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Only if
I know that a lot of our women are, you know, when they do confront it with their ex-husbands or when they're living with their husbands, and certainly I heard it in my marriage, even though my ex-husband never admitted it, but he would say, well, if I am gay, can you blame me? You know, and then afterwards, when it came out, he said, well, if you would have been more supportive, if you would have been more understanding, you know, all of those things, you know, which only made me feel more guilty.
Exactly. And I even felt guilty about the marriage because I was
mm-hmm.
so confused. I was so confused. I thought, my goodness, is that what is, surely I would have known. Is that what's wrong with me? You know, I was so confused during that time.
And another thing I think that happens a lot is that they really know how to push the buttons that are most sensitive to us as far as blaming us for any of the sexual problems that are going on in the marriage. You know, it's not that they have the sexual problem, it's that we have the problem.
Yeah.
That we're not, you know, aggressive enough, that we're not willing enough, that we're not that good in bed, that we're not willing to do things that they want. And my heart really aches. You know, I get letters, I guess maybe 3 or 4 a week from women from all over the world who are so upset because their husbands want them to do things that are really beyond the realm of normalcy for them or for me or for most people. And when they don't want to do it, you know, their husbands blame them for not being a willing enough sex partner. And, in fact, I was working with this one woman this week, and my heart was willing to do it. So she felt a great sense of shame and embarrassment, feeling that she's failing him somehow. And, of course, there are a lot of other issues on that particular marriage, you know, to prove that he really is gay, because she found all other kinds of websites and letters to other guys. But she started thinking, as he kept putting in her head, well, maybe she'd be more flexible and do the things that he likes, and he wouldn't have to turn to other people. So I think when you don't feel real secure to start with, it's really easy to push those kind of buttons to make you feel totally insecure and make you feel at fault.
Absolutely.
And did that ever happen to you in your marriage? How was, you know, with the whole sexual issue?
Well, there really was no sex. There was always, he always said that he had health issues, and we were in our 20s, and, you know, I was going through the divorce process by the time I was 30. So, you know, a young man in his 20s normally doesn't have many sex problems. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. You have to remember, this was my first significant relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know, long-term relationship. And I thought, well, you know, this is normal. People get comfortable with each other, because he would say things like that. You know, he would say, well, you know, marriage is not all about sex. And it's, of course, it's not all about sex, but it is a very important part of the marriage.
And I will tell you that any straight man will never say that to you.
And I think you're probably right there, Bonnie.
So when you're looking to find signs whether your husband's gay or not, if he says to you that marriage isn't all about sex, trust me, that's one of the signs. Because maybe it's not all about it, but no straight man wants to turn it down, trust me.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, I have to agree with you, you know. And it's that was very early on. And I thought, okay, well, this is the way it is. This is how it is, and this is okay. You know, I love him. He loves me. We're a happy couple. But there was just so much more, just so many more things that just didn't make sense
mm-hmm.
early on in the marriage, very early on in the marriage. There was always a huge argument before it was time to go to bed. And that was something I really didn't see what was going on, but he always called some type of fight before bedtime to make sure that we didn't do anything.
That's a very similar pattern that my ex-husband used to follow too.
Mm-hmm.
So many nights, you know, and I always thought, you know, I grew up with that kind of thought that, you know, the best part about fighting is making up, but not when you have a gay husband, because there is no making up. They make sure of it.
No, there is no making
especially
up.
Especially not making up in bed.
No, there's none of that. Absolutely, there's none of that.
So that's another sign for people who are listening, if you're wondering about your husband being gay, because I know that certainly we do get a lot of calls and letters and inquiries, how do I tell if my husband is gay if I don't have absolute proof? And like Misty always tells everyone, trust your instincts, because your instincts are never going to lead you to the wrong direction. I haven't met the woman yet who thought her husband was gay and then he ended up being straight.
I haven't either. I've never worked with a woman that came to me for the services I do, you know, as a straight wife coaching,
mm-hmm.
that has thought their husband was gay and then been wrong. I mean, sometimes they get proof later,
mm-hmm.
years later, and sometimes they just see things going on later, you know, with the ex-husband, run into them maybe with their partner or things like that. And it's so difficult because this group of women that we're in and a part of want so much proof. And it's just they just make it so hard on themselves. You know, you may never find proof.
I know, and it's really funny.
Because
straight women, when they want to find proof about their straight husbands, don't seem to have any problem finding it.
Yeah.
Because they want to believe it to start with, but I think part of the reason why, you know, women with gay husbands, and I always tell women that, you know, if you don't feel good about your living situation, you have to figure out a way to get out, even if it takes, you know, time, even if you need a roadmap, even if it takes a while to get there. But the important thing is just to get there, to start a trip, to start a plan. And I always tell women that you don't have to be physically free at first. First, you have to be emotionally free, because that's how freedom gets there. You have to first have a plan. You have to emotionally accept what is, not live in a state of denial. And I think that women who have gay husbands, it's so much easier for us to fall back into that pattern of living in that denial with them, because we don't want to believe it. Whereas when you have a straight husband, and if he's cheating on you, you know, that's something that's very acceptable, that you can accept in your head. But when you have a gay husband, you know, that's something that's so much harder to accept. And which one of us wouldn't want to believe that it's a lie? You know, so if our husbands say to us, well, that was a phase that I went through, or maybe I was having those thoughts at the moment, or what I often hear, it was a change of life type of move, or I was just curious, or I was bored, and I was just wanted to have some good laughs, or whatever reasons that they're saying it, and they tell you, well, now it's over, you know, we're so believing and want to just believe it's true. Whereas, you know, with a straight husband, and I've been in both worlds, so I know I had straight husband and I had gay husband, and I think the dynamics are really different. I do feel that it wouldn't make me feel any better if my ex-husband was cheating with a woman than a man. I think that when there's infidelity, you know, it hurts on either end. It's just that this is beyond the infidelity, because I think we need to talk about that too, Misty. It's not just a matter that your husband's cheating on you. It's not just the sex part. It's the whole, you know, whole big picture of the marriage itself that's been a lie, where there's been, you know, all this distrust and mistrust and, you know, based everything that you're doing is based on, you know, a different kind of value system. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I certainly can. I think the first thing that comes to mind when you bring that topic up is when I discovered, I'll go back to my own experience, when I discovered and started to begin to think that my now ex-husband was gay, the first thing I thought of was, who am I married to? I really thought I was married to a stranger. I was married to someone so different than what I thought, because he played a role very well in the beginning. And in his defense, I think he was trying to do what he could to fight being gay. I really do. I truly and honestly believe that. I thought he could pull it off, thought he could probably do it for a lifetime. But, you know, as you know, it's just, you know, our sexuality is powerful. I could switch myself over to be lesbian. So, you know, it's just so powerful. So how could he do that? But I just remember thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm married to a stranger. Who is this in my house that I'm living with? It was that bad. I had no idea who he was. And then more things just started popping up. When I was ready, you know, they say when the when you're ready to learn, the teacher will appear. And once I started, you know, getting my feet out of so much of the denial, I started finding different clues. And those clues, I think, had been there the whole time. I just, you know,
but you just didn't want to see them, right?
Exactly. And it was just so interesting, all the little clues that I found. And I just remember thinking, this is he's a completely different person than I even thought I was with.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens. You know, I think it's very natural for us as human beings to define ourselves by the people we're in relationships with. You know, whether we're a mother, whether we're a wife, daughter, sister, you know, all those things. We define ourselves by who the people we keep around us and in our lives. They help define who we are. And when you learn that your husband is gay, you know, I get this from so many of the women I work with and with myself. Funny, I didn't even really know who I was. I had lost my whole sense of balance of who I was.
Well, Missy, we have a caller to join us. Let's see if we can get her
on.
Hello.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You're on with
Hi, Missy.
Hi, Tracy.
How's everybody doing today?
What's the next question, did you say?
I just said, how's everybody doing today?
I was only kidding. I said, what's the next question?
Oh.
You're sitting here having a really depressing conversation. About
oh, are you?
Well, yeah, and we're talking about, you know,
it would make more sense.
That's what we were saying. We were saying that infidelity, either way, is going to hurt like hell.
Right.
But this is like a double dose, because not only is it just infidelity, but it's accepting a life system that's totally foreign to us.
Yeah, I just cannot relate to it, and that's what makes it difficult.
Right, that we feel that it's like a double dose of, you know, a whole new issue to have to deal with.
Absolutely.
So also, I think it's a lot about the deception, because it's not just a matter of the infidelity. It's about a whole lifestyle. I mean,
people are more willing to accept it. I mean, like, there's no accepting this and saying, okay, things will be the same as they were.
Well, I think
one
of the reasons is because that after this, you know, there is infidelity, you can't say there won't be again because you know there will be again.
It's a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there's no guarantee in any way for anything after infidelity, but there's more of a chance for the survival of the marriage.
So do you think that maybe you could just tell women from your experience, those women mm-hmm. who are naive enough to think that when their husbands come to them and for forgiveness and they say, well, it was just a temporary moment of insanity, you know, it was a midlife crisis, it was something that I was always wondering in my head, but I've tried it, I hate it, I'll never do it again, what they should do?
Run like hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a very big difference between, gee, I wonder what that would be like, and acting on it and obsessing over it and actually doing it when you're in a committed, more of a reality, and then my marriage 3 months into it, he couldn't hold out any longer.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. But I can't imagine that anybody could just let go of that part of themselves. It's just too natural for them.
And when you did find out, you know, that what was going on, did he try to promise you it'll never happen again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but I wasn't buying it.
Did he tell you it was just a one-time thing, or?
No, once he came clean, I found out more than I wish I had.
Uh-huh.
I found out everything. So
Once you found it out or over time?
Oh, yeah. It was because my knee-jerk thing was when he had told me it was a fantasy that was never acted on was, you know, in my survival mode, I said to him, go do it. Maybe it's just a fantasy and you're going to find out it's not really who you are. And that was what the hope that I was holding on to. And then we went to a couples counselor one night, and that's when he told me everything.
Well, did he say that maybe he would try?
At first it was, I don't have to be with men anymore. And I didn't buy it right from the get-go once I knew everything, because I, you know, if that was the truth, then you would have been able to do it all this time. You couldn't last 3 months. I'm not going to stake the rest of my life on this.
Because I think that's a very bad misconception that, you know, when women, we were talking before you came on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of women really desperately want to believe that this was a mistake, it was a one-time thing, it can change. If I love them enough, they'll change. And especially if these guys want to buy into that and say, look, you know, trust me, it's never going to happen again. I tried it, I don't like it. And I think on some levels, you know, some of them don't like it on the emotional end. Obviously, physically, they must like it or they wouldn't keep doing it.
Right.
Although I have women tell me, well, my husbands are doing it to punish themselves or self-hatred. They were abused when they were younger, and this is how they're reacting. I get a lot of that abuse stuff. And I call it the abuse excuse because I think use that as an excuse. You know, there would still be no need to have to act on it if they weren't gay.
Yeah, I don't buy the abuse excuse either. I think it's a crutch. I think it's an excuse, as you call it, very rightfully. But I don't agree that, you know, it's not something you become. It's something you are.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that you can't change.
No, that you have to just accept and accept the reality that goes with it.
You think it was easier for you to accept it than it was in some ways for him to accept it? On an emotional level, not on the physical level.
I think that's a tough one. I think it was easier for me to accept the end of our marriage than it was for him.
Uh-huh.
Because he couldn't understand why I couldn't just
live with it.
Live with it, exactly. And trust that it's not going to happen if he says it's not, even though
uh-huh.
we both knew. But you have to remember, too, that there were a lot of other lies that went along with this, not just the sexuality issue. There was all the lies about money. There were lies about so many other things. This was just the granddaddy of all of them.
Right. And a lot of times we talk about sociopathic behavior and how men start living lies.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe when you're living a lie every day that lying just becomes part of your personality.
Well, when you can hide something this big.
Exactly.
If you can lie about something like this, anything else is easy.
Right, because it's not like what they call a little white lie.
No, this is huge.
Uh-huh.
And if you can hide this from the world, God, anything, you know, blowing money or stealing anything or whatever it is, that's
uh-huh.
nothing. That's small potatoes.
Well, tonight we really wanted to share some insight, since we have you, since it is Mother's Day, on what the effects are with children. Because as a mother, you have to deal with a lot of issues that other mothers don't have to deal with when they have a straight husband. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I think the biggest one was trying to protect them from the reality of their situation. And for a long time it worked, but eventually it came back to bite me on my butt.
In what way?
Well, I always sugarcoated for my kids. I tried to shield them, hide them, you know, hide things from them, and they never knew to what extent their father was capable of hiding the truth and the sociopathic behavior. And as they got older and started to see things for themselves, it was devastating for them.
How old were they when this first happened?
My son, who's now going to be 17 in July, was 10.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter is 11 now, and she was 4 and a half, going on 5.
Right. So at that age, you would do everything to try to protect them. That's understandable.
Well, with my son, we had to tell him immediately, because when my ex decided that he was going to come clean to his parents and tell them the whole truth, he decided to do that with his entire family.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, when he told his brother and his sister-in-law, she went and told everybody she knew.
Uh-huh.
She was so happy to hear that our marriage was ending.
Uh-huh.
And because of the fact that we all live in the same area, we had to tell my son before somebody else did.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, at the ripe old age of 10, he not only had to deal with his parents' marriage ending, he had to deal with his parents' marriage ending and trying to understand that daddy doesn't like women.
Did you both tell him together?
No, I took my daughter out that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was 5. And I took her out for the day. We went to the movies and did a little shopping, you know, and he was home with my son and he sat him down, because she was not old enough to understand it and, you know, to swallow this whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he cried with him, and he told him the truth and tried to explain it as best he can, but it wasn't until he went back to his apartment and I was home with the kids by myself, and then the question started with my son. And he's always been a very perceptive kid. So he was asking tough questions of me that he didn't ask of his father, like, did he know he was gay when he married you? And
uh-huh.
I wasn't going to lie. I was, you know, if you ask me a direct question, I'm going to give you a direct answer.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, yeah, he did. And then the next thing out of his mouth was, well, then why'd he marry you? Like,
uh-huh.
this is coming from a 10-year-old kid.
Uh-huh.
And my answer to him, you know, sugarcoating, you know, well, when Daddy and I first met, this was not really accepted. And he really, you know, I believe that he really thought he loved me.
Where certainly homosexuality is not a secret.
No.
And it was something, you came, you know, from somewhat of an educated liberal family,
mm-hmm.
and certainly you're in the show business realm, so you're certainly exposed to many people who are gay.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm sure that, you know, as we've discussed many times, you never had any prejudice towards gay people.
No, not at all.
So it was maybe easier for, you know, him to accept that compared to
he actually
someone.
He was shielded from it, because he really, it wasn't coming out.
Uh-huh.
Because you have to remember, he was 5th grade going into 6th grade, and kids are mean.
Uh-huh.
And I remember twice I was invited onto 2 major network talk shows. And the first time I was invited onto one, I went right to my son. He was a little, you know, he was already in 7th grade at this point.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you know, Jim McGreevy came out, and, you know, all this crap going on. And I went to him and I said, I was invited onto this show. What do I do? And he said, please don't do it, Mom. I don't need my friends seeing this. And I was like, okay.
Uh-huh.
Now he couldn't care less. You know, now he's in high school. He's a junior. He, you know, it's a big school, like you said, city. You know, he doesn't go around advertising it, but he certainly doesn't hide from it.
Uh-huh. And how about your daughter?
My daughter, she just loves to talk about it, you know. You know, to her, it's almost like something to joke about. I don't know where she gets that from.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Maybe from her mother, who's now invented gay comedy. Comedy club throughout New York. Learning processes, you can laugh or find something to laugh about. It always makes you feel better.
I think once you are able to find that little thing that you can laugh at, I think that's the beginning of part of the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
When you can stop crying and actually see some humor in it.
But Tracy, let's tell women as it is. It takes a long time to heal, correct?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, like I said, my son's going to be 17. He found out when he was 10. So we're talking 6.5 years now. And it wasn't, I would say, like the last maybe year or two that I'm able to be around my ex-husband without hating him, without wishing things were different, without wondering what I did wrong, without blaming myself.
Right.
Yeah, there's
that was
all
one
that
of the first we were discussing today is the self-blame. And you certainly went through that in the beginning too, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
That
we'd
big like
time.
To let women know that's a natural thing that we all go through. That
maybe
if we would have done something differently, maybe if we would have seen things earlier.
When you have somebody that you love so much lying next to you and you still feel so completely lonely, that's like the worst feeling in the world.
Now, did you feel that throughout the early years of your marriage or not?
No, not at all. It really wasn't until, it was years into our marriage. We had our two kids and everything was going along great, and every so often a comment would be passed and I would let it go and he would let it go, and then finally the comment was made one too many times and I made him go into counseling, and that's when he learned that he had to come clean to me.
And what was the comment he would make?
He would say things like, first started with in high school he had those fantasies but never acted on them.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went to, those feelings never go away. This was after we had our son already, and I was in the middle of a major postpartum depression. I was like, that's a hell of a thing to say. He's like, no, everything's fine, everything's fine. Me being stupid and young, all right, fine, everything's fine. And then several years later, after my daughter was born and my son, he was playing soccer, and the last straw for me was when several months. It was,
he started therapy, if you can remember back then.
Yeah.
Did he try to do, like, kind of that second honeymoon phase with you to try to prove to you that it wasn't,
He was more a matter of trying to prove that he can still hide it from me. You have to remember, you know my ex-husband, he's all about what can I get away with.
Uh-huh.
How far can I push the envelope before I get caught?
Uh-huh.
That's his M.O. And in this particular instance, he was pushing that envelope as hard as he possibly could, and it wasn't until, the whole computer thing started, thank God for technology, that I really, really found out what was going on right under my nose.
Uh-huh.
And I think that if I didn't have a computer and I never caught him, so to speak, I don't know for sure that I would even know the full truth now.
Do you think that's the only reason that you were able to get the confession out of him?
I had a lot on him.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot.
Was it just from the computer?
Mostly. That was the most concrete stuff that I had. I mean, in the beginning, it was kind of fun because I would throw information back at him and be like, how did you find that out? And be like, I have my sources.
Mm-hmm.
It was mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
But, once he figured out it was a computer thing, because I told him, I was like, I have every IM you've ever sent to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And every little thing you've ever said about me in trying to beef yourself out, then how could you be hurt?
Did you feel, that there was a possibility that you could have had some kind of sexually transmitted disease?
I was tested more than once. See, luckily on that front, my doctor was also a very good friend of mine at the time. And when I went to her and just as a friend and I was telling her what was going on in my marriage, she said, give me your arm. And she was like, I'm testing you right now. And then 6 months later, she said, we're doing this test again just to be sure. And she did, and thank God I was totally clean.
Now, after you found out, I'm just curious, not to get personal.
You can get personal.
I might as well.
We always do.
Right. You don't mind the thousands of people are listening to your life story. But after you did find out for sure, did you have any more sexual encounters with him?
Yeah, I did.
Were they safe or not, to be honest?
Safe as in what he used?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was safe.
Okay.
First of all, thank God for medication and a good therapist and very supportive family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for the people in our group who say they have nobody.
Exactly, when you feel so isolated and alone.
And I don't believe that there's nobody. There's got to be somebody.
Well, I actually know there are some people who really have nobody. It's hard to believe also, but when I speak to some women, They're very isolated. In other words, they don't have parents that are alive or any kind of, you know, siblings that are around, or else they're very church-based, or, you know, they have religious issues and the family doesn't want to hear about it.
But no friends at all? Not one friend you can confide in?
You know what? A lot of times, depending on the situation, I've seen women who are really isolated from their friends. You know, their husbands move them away. They haven't been able to develop new friendships. And a lot of times you're very embarrassed. You know, you're so afraid of telling people because they're going to judge you.
That is true.
And did you have those fears also with your friends or no?
You really should be upfront with them. But I also said to him, whatever you tell your brother at the time, that's what you tell your parents, because you know that if you tell them the truth and you don't tell your parents the truth, they're going to find out the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose to take the high road for the first time ever, and he told them the truth. But then the extended family, I told them, because there was a family function going on. My niece was being bat mitzvahed, and I wasn't going. And I said to him, I don't want them wondering why I'm not there. I don't want them thinking that I'm being a bitch. Ooh, can I say that on the radio? I don't want them knowing. I don't want them thinking that it's me. You need to tell them that we're split up, and this is the reason.
Uh-huh.
And so he was kind of forced out.
And did he try to resist that with you? Did he say, I don't want you telling people? Or?
Well, at first it was more a matter of, well, why do we have to tell them that? Why can't we just tell them that we're splitting up, but we're working on it? I'm like, because we're not working on it. What are we working on? What, are you going to work on not being gay anymore? You can't. I'm not protecting you anymore. And I made it very clear to him. I was like, I have been in this closet with you for too long, and I'm tired of it, and I don't want to be in it anymore.
And I think that's the most important thing that we try to get across to women, that, you know, this is not your secret that you have to keep. You know, this is the secret they've been living with.
Right.
You know, their closet they created. And I don't think it's fair that they get to tell who they want, but we don't get to tell anyone because they have that, you know, they hold us responsible. And
yeah,
many people have split feelings about that. Well, I don't want to hurt his family. Well, okay, you don't want to hurt his family, but in the meantime, they're thinking you must have done something wrong if you're not staying in the marriage.
Right. What did you do to him?
Exactly. And I think that it really creates some hostile feelings on behalf of the in-laws towards, you know, the woman, because they think that the woman hasn't tried hard enough in their marriage.
Right.
Or they're not doing anything to keep the marriage together, or why are you walking out on that? And we hear that all the time from women in our group. That
yes,
they're blamed by the families, you know, when the marriage goes wrong because the families don't know the truth.
And the problem is that they're afraid to let the truth set them free for whatever reason.
We
but if they're not going to...
calling in, Tracy, so please hang on so you can talk to them. Hold on one second.
Sure.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Who are we talking to?
This is Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine. We're here tonight with me and Tracy and Misty.
Hello.
I've been listening to Tracy's talk, and she and I have some similar things, and I have a few things in my story that are different, a little different from Tracy's. Like her, if I hadn't caught my husband, I would never have known. I would probably still be in the dark today.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike her, I didn't confront my husband right away. I don't know, something told me you need to gather all the information that you can and go find a lawyer so that, you know, he doesn't cover his tracks, because he'd done a darn good job of covering his tracks, because I didn't have a clue that he was gay until I stumbled across it. So I went that route.
And once you did have all the information, did you confront him then?
I did about 3 months after I found out what was going on. He had left his email open one night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I found out. And then a while later, I tried getting back into his email to see if I could, you know, find more, and I was able to get into his email. And I basically opened Pandora's box. because I found a gay online dating site that he had an account on, and found all sorts of emails between him and other men, and emails where he had set up meetings with them in hotels, where he had invited them into our house when I was gone. I mean,
wow.
I mean, it was just awful. I mean, I felt very violated. You know, one of the things you talked about, you know, was all these different issues, and I just felt a real sense of that I had been defrauded and violated, because, you know, when I said I do, I had no idea what I was getting in for. You know, I didn't have full disclosure.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this, Tracy. Did you have that occasion also? Was your home ever violated?
Oh, my God. I felt like I was totally robbed.
Yeah, I don't mean that. I meant as far as, was your husband ever in your house when you weren't there with anyone?
No. But I have to say, in that respect, I'm very lucky. He's never been here with a man.
I know other women who go through the same thing, and to me, that is, you know, it's bad enough to have the situation, and I am understanding to a point. And I always tell men that there is no choice in being gay. There is a choice in being honest about it.
Right.
But even when you're not honest about it, to go to the next step of having no regard at all for the wife, and I know of a gentleman who's, you know, a few states away from me, who has invited men into his home whenever his wife is out of town, which is, you know, usually once a month, and, you know, having sex in their bed. And I think this, to me, is the greatest violation of everything.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Maggie, how long were you married?
How long were we married? My 37th wedding anniversary was this past week.
Oh, wow.
We're still married. We're in divorce limbo right now.
Mm.
So it's a very long-term marriage. And the funny thing, when I did confront him, the first thing he said to me was, he said, "Boy, you really blindsided me with this. I thought we had a very open and honest relationship and could talk about things." And I'm sitting there thinking, you have lied to me for our entire marriage. You have been cheating on me for God knows how many years. You've brought men into our home and into our bed, and you think we have an open and honest relationship?
You blindsided him?
Did you say that to him?
Well, no, I basically just didn't say a lot of anything because I didn't want to give him anything he could turn around and use against me.
Were you in shock when you found out, or were you not shocked?
Oh, I was in total shock. Misty had talked earlier about the shock and the denial, and I went through the denial phase. I mean, I was queen of denial. I had the crown and the scepter and the whole nine yards. Because, you know, I would think, you know, I had no clue. And because I was keeping all of this a secret from Yahoo email addresses and create Sony IDs or accounts on the gay hookup site, and I would chat with my husband.
Oh, wow.
Posing as a gay man. And I got a lot of information that way. Apparently, his mother never told him not to talk to strangers on the Internet because he just told me all sorts of stuff, you know.
Yes, well, we won't give that advice to any of the men. We hope they keep chatting on that Internet and strongly advise their wives to do exactly what you did, although that must have been very difficult to have to do. I think you have to face a lot of the reality first before you're able to get up to that next point, right?
Yeah, well, and then finally it got to a point where I had to stop it because it was just getting to the point where it was becoming too hurtful. I already had enough information to bury him.
Mm-hmm.
And the night that I chatted with him and found out that he told, you know, my persona, I can't remember what name I was using because I did it more than once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found that he would imagine that I was a man when we had sex so that he was able to perform. And at that point, I thought, you know, I just don't need to learn any more crap like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
at that point, I already had enough to bury him.
That one hurts a lot, doesn't it?
It did. I mean, that one just, it was like a knife straight to the heart.
Absolutely.
So you actually, you could have seen. you know, in retrospect. And I know they always say that hindsight is 20/20.
Right.
So believe
you know,
me, we can all find red flags.
Not really. I mean, I don't know that just because a man takes interest in helping to pick out furniture and paint for his house, that that necessarily makes him gay.
No, not at all.
No.
No? Or, you know, I mean, I just, you know, because people would say, you know, oh, gee, my husband doesn't care about, my husband has a brother whose son is gay,
mm-hmm.
and the brother has completely turned his back on his son, won't let him set foot in the house, and we had talked about how sad that was,
mm-hmm.
that you know, a man would treat his own son that way. My husband grew up in a very fundamental religious family. His father was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And I told somebody one time, I said, I just simply cannot imagine anything closer to hell on earth than being the son of a Southern Baptist preacher and being gay.
Oy.
So I guess that's why he would never have the ability to be honest about it and why he needed to be married.
You know, and I think, you know, in the era when we were married, you know, they were telling people, how would you just get married? That'll cure it. And I think that may have been, you know, one of the reasons that he got married. And, you know, also having a wife made him socially acceptable,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially after he started acting on it, you know, because at one point somebody accused him of being bisexual, and he actually told me about the accusation, and I was just incensed
mm-hmm.
and went out of my way to, like, you know, hang all over him and all this sort of stuff. And, of course, now I'm sitting here with egg on my face, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
did he say why that person accused him?
We had a weekend place at a campground, and there would be... So, you know, she said, you know, so you must be bisexual.
I think that's funny, because why wouldn't somebody think, you know, she must have been suspicious about her own husband if he was in there. But, you know, why wouldn't they think, well, they're in there watching porno movies about women?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, that's why I say...
Well, I later found out that this woman who accused him of that, she and her husband are swingers.
Oh, okay. Well, then she probably had a good reason to think it.
Well, Lord knows what they do, you know. None of my business, you know. But,
so how about, you know, so how long have you known now altogether?
For about 18 months.
And how long would you say it took you to get past the initial shock?
Probably 6 months or so. I was still pretty shaky and pretty shocky over the whole thing. Now it's like, you know. And you were talking about, you know, telling people being very liberating. I'm bound by a non-disclosure agreement that I got hit with at mediation. So, I mean, I'm more than happy to tell people, but I can't. I can't even tell my own children.
Really?
He has come out to them. They know that their father's gay, but they don't know any of the ugly details. And I'm not really sure I really want them to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
have they brought
grown.
It up to
they're,
you at all?
One of them has talked to me a little bit about it. And they have grown up in an atmosphere, you know, of knowing that, you know, gay is how you're born.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Not a choice, you know, it's not, you know, nobody makes you gay. And they, you know, one of them said to me, he said, you know, that must have been really hard for him to have to, you know, to tell you that he was gay and there, but he led them to believe that it was with a woman and that it was one time, and because I didn't fight to save the marriage, now I'm the bad guy.
Now, this non-disclosure agreement, did your attorney help broker that, or was it something that was forced on you?
It was part of our mediation. And I just sort of, when it was brought up, my husband was the one who put it on the table, and I looked at it and I started asking questions, you know, is this forever and ever, amen? Does this mean I can't even tell my children? And my attorney said, yes and yes. And she said, go ahead and sign this. She said, because the truth is going to come out eventually.
I don't know if that was the advice that I would have taken.
Well, given that I have the best divorce attorney in town, I went with her. I went with her advice.
Yeah, well, you have to feel comfortable with what your attorney's telling you.
Yeah, and I felt comfortable with that, you know. I mean, it still bothers me sometimes, you know, but I figure, you know, the truth is going to come out. And all of this has come around to bite him in the butt because he got very careless last summer and had unprotected sex and has ended up with HIV.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he doesn't know. I know that.
Now, how'd you find that out?
Because he got careless and left some paperwork laying around the house.
There you go.
I think
it's almost like he wants you to catch him.
I'm thinking maybe Maggie wanted you to catch him.
I don't know. No, I don't think so, because I've chatted with him, disappointed I would have been, you know, all of that. I don't think the shock value would have been quite as much.
Would you have still ended your marriage?
He had cheated with a woman as much as he's been cheating with men. Yeah. Because, I mean, I call him a serial adulterer. I mean, because it was just there for a while. I mean, it was just like one right after the other.
Well, that's typical behavior.
Yeah, I mean, it was just.
Once they're out there, they're really out there.
Yeah, and I liken it to a science project that my kids did one time where they would take a glass bottle, like a wine bottle, and they would put baking soda and vinegar in it, and then just put a cork in the top of it, and the baking soda and the vinegar all bubbles up, and it blows that cork out.
Right.
But if you take that cork and you jam it down in there, and you hold it in place and don't let the cork blow, it will eventually make the bottle explode. And that's what it's like, I think, to suppress your natural sexual urges for so long and to have to hide them, you know. And he just literally, I mean, he just exploded. And he was spiraling completely out of control.
Well, I guess he feels
completely
he has to make up for lost time.
Yeah, and I knew that I had to get out of that before I got sucked into the gutter with him.
Did he try to get you to stay with him after you found out?
Oh, yeah, he did. He kept saying, now, is a divorce what you really want? Yes, it's what I really want. He offered, you know, he said, well, what if we just stay married, but we live apart?
Was he afraid of the social stigma?
I said,
stigma,
no,
I
don't think that's going to work. No, I cannot still be, you know, connected, legally connected to, you know, someone who's, cause I don't think he still has a clue.
Maggie, let me ask you a question about
him.
Let me ask you this. As I was discussing with Tracy earlier,
a particular city that we live in, because it's a town that is, we have a large defense industry and a large aerospace industry, and so there are a lot of people that have moved here from other places. It's very atypical of our state.
Mm-hmm.
So within our city, it's probably not, you know, it's probably more acceptable. I mean, his employer is an equal opportunity employer in my particular town.
Mm-hmm.
I did meet up face-to-face with one of the other gals from your chat room. She lives about 2 hours from me.
Mm-hmm.
And we got together back in the first early part of the year and met face-to-face. And, I mean, chatting is great. The chat room is a great support. But meeting somebody and sitting down across the table, face-to-face, you know, it really
makes a whole difference.
You know, it makes a lot of difference, you know. I mean, just the chat room lets you know that you're not alone. But, you know, being there face-to-face with another, you know, another sister who's in this situation, it really made a lot of difference.
Yes, in fact, Misty and I were talking earlier that we're going to be announcing that we have a trip coming up. We decided the first week of November that's going to be in Florida. So maybe you could join us there if you have time to plan for it. Because we just found our last Florida trip was just so wonderful with women who came from all over. And I know that certainly Tracy and I have been to Florida for some of these gatherings. and just meeting women who can hug you and know exactly what you're thinking and feeling, you know, because
yeah.
sometimes I think you just feel so isolated, because even if you tell people and they understand or they're sympathetic, they don't quite
They can't
have
be
people.
Empathetic.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, unless you've walked in these shoes. You know, I spent last weekend at a divorce group weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going to a divorce.
And how did that
but,
go over?
You know,
yeah, how are people able to accept that?
Well, most people, you know, when I tell the whole story, you know, starting with finding the email and ending up with, you know, he has HIV.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can see people's mouths really sort of drop open. I mean, they were very sympathetic, and nobody judged me.
Right.
You know, and nobody, you know, I was have been very fortunate in that respect. And
do they
I,
make
and
it
I
like they've
about it.
Do they make it like they've never heard of such a thing before?
I think, yeah, I don't think many of them had ever run into this situation before.
Mm-hmm.
Although, actually, one of the facilitators in the group, her husband was gay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had met her back several months ago. She was actually the facilitator of the weekly group that I go to. And I
mm-hmm.
felt like it was sort of the hand of God leading me right into that particular group.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, you know, after I told my little story and everything, she looked at me and she said, you know, that's far more common than you think it is. And I said, yeah, I'm finding that out. And then she sort of pulled me aside at the end and she said, you know, I have been in your shoes. I know exactly how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there's a lot
did.
To be said for that.
where do both of
out.
You think that the emotional differences are with this, or if you had a straight husband where things didn't work out?
Where things didn't work out for what reason? Because of adultery or just in general?
Well, I guess you would have to compare it. I don't know what else to compare it to, so I would think it would probably have to be for adultery.
Well, like I said before, you can't compete with this.
I don't have the right body parts.
Yeah, well, that's what, and in my comedy, it's one of the things I say. I never had to ask, what does he have that I don't have, because it's kind of obvious.
How about with you, Maggie? Did you feel any sense of blame, you know, or responsibility that in any way it could have been
that,
your fault?
Nothing like that.
And after you, how long did it take until you confronted him from the time you found out?
How long did it take to confront him?
Mm-hmm.
From February to May.
Hmm.
Oh, that was, what, 3-4 months?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's when you were getting all your evidence together and going to the attorney.
That was when I was, right. And I had been advised that outing a gay husband could have the potential for violence. And
mm-hmm.
so I was told, you know, if there's some way that you can do it, you know, without being face-to-face, or if you have to do it face-to-face, do it in public. What I decided to do was he was going on a business trip, and I was going to put a letter in his suitcase so that, you know, he would read this letter when he was 2,000 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if he was going to blow up and, you know, get, you know, go crazy, he'd be 2,000 miles away when he did it, and he'd have a week to cool down
mm-hmm.
before he came back home. And then, and the business, and that's when he said, I thought we had a very open and honest relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so did I.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's pretty funny. I mean, I can't imagine of all the statements he could make to you that he would make, you know, have
yeah,
to make.
That's the
that one.
One.
Everybody goes, huh? You know, my lawyer went, huh? You know, my therapist, you know, just laughed, you know.
Yeah. That's what
now,
you can do sometimes.
Open and honest. Yeah, right.
So how do you think your kids feel about it, even though you can't really discuss it with them?
I mean, they understand that their dad didn't have any choice being gay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, that's a tribute to how I raised them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he still is their dad. You know,
mm-hmm.
our marital status and, you know, his sexual orientation does not change that.
Right.
I don't know if they ever find out the all the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how they'll feel about that. I guess I'll just have to wait and see.
Mm.
Now, are you in touch with him now?
Far,
are you in touch with him now, Maggie?
With my husband?
Uh-huh.
Only by email.
Okay. So it's a strained relationship at best, right?
Yes, very strained.
How about you, Tracy? Are you in touch with your husband?
Constantly.
Uh-huh.
I see him all the time. He's here all the time. I'm past the I hate you, stay out of my life stage.
Uh-huh.
And your children were younger, too, so you probably
yes.
had custody issues and all that. See, my children have grown and out of the house, so that's made the difference. Closure went into place. I could have told my children anything, and I never said a word to them.
Maybe
I really
have somebody else
their
who would like. Well, I just want to say we have somebody else to join us. Just give us 1 second.
Oh, sure.
Hello?
Hi.
Are you? And who's this calling?
This is Kathy, Bonnie.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I called in before talking about the non-disclosure.
Uh-huh.
I recently have had my ex-husband talk about non-disclosure. Well, we have a custody, like a custody agreement,
mm-hmm.
but what my biggest thing is I cannot badmouth him to anybody, according to my non-disclosure. However, my children are coming home to me saying that he is badmouthing me to my own children.
If you have your computer up, can you just turn that down because we're hearing the echo?
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm going to turn it down.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Maggie, what do you think in a case like that? Is it a non-disclosure on both sides, or is it just on one side?
In my case, it's non-disclosure on both sides, but I don't think he thinks it applies to him.
Correct. That is exactly how I feel.
I mean, but you both have non-disclosure?
I don't really know.
There's a difference between non-disclosure and bad-mouthing each other. Non-disclosure means you can't disclose the fact that he's gay. So really, how
well, that's already said it non. Like, everybody already knows my ex-husband's gay, so it doesn't really matter as far as non-disclosure, but as far as bad-mouthing.
So that's a different order altogether. That's not non-disclosure.
Yeah.
That would come under a different heading.
Yeah, because the way mine
it's actually
is
under conduct.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way mine is worded, it says that I'm not supposed to reveal anything about any details about what led to the breakdown and dissolution of my marriage.
Okay.
Which would basically cover, you know, gay and adultery.
Right.
And what does yours say, Kathy?
Mine actually just talks about conduct. You cannot badmouth the other adult or a parent to the children or anybody else, third party or anybody else included. But I have found out that my ex-husband is badmouthing me to my children. So
uh-huh.
he's basically trying to justify him ruining a good family and marriage. You know what I mean? Like, and that's fine with me, but when it came down to actual details and what he's telling my children,
uh-huh.
you know, I then have to involve legal matters because it's, you know, it's not fair to me when I did nothing to ruin this marriage or ruin the whole entire family.
Exactly.
Right.
So have you taken any kind of legal steps now?
I have, actually. I have. You know, I've gotten letters from his lawyer saying I've badmouthed him to third party, but my daughter came home to me and said, but wait a minute, it's not fair. He's badmouthing you to me and my sisters.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I what I would really love to see Straight Spouse Network is straight spouses and their children
uh-huh.
and let all the children go in a room and, like, be together because I know that, you know, the one woman said she went to a divorce group. You know, it's fine to be divorced from a person who is having an affair with a woman, but it's completely different. Like, we all know, who's ever listening, we all know that our divorces are completely different than the normal divorce group. Our children need to know that they are separate from divorced families. It's
uh-huh.
completely different. And they need to know that there's kids just like them whose fathers have ruined marriages or left marriages because they're gay and they want to do whatever they want to do. And they're left with these gay fathers, and they really don't have anybody to turn to.
I know. It's a really big problem, and there really is a very minimal amount of support for children. And
I feel good for my kids.
Absolutely.
How old are your kids?
My kids are very young, and I've called in before. I mean, my kids are 8, 9, 12, and 13. They're all girls, and this is why God gave me girls, and I truly feel bad for women who have sons who his fathers do this to them, because I think for boys it's very different than girls. You know, I think it's gender specific, but I just want my kids to know there's kids just like them.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, yeah. Tracy, can you think your kids would be willing to, you know, correspond with Kathy's kids?
I think it's a possibility. I mean, my daughter is, she's very vocal. Where do you
live? I have four girls.
I'm
right outside of Philadelphia, and I have actually been kind of email in contact with Bonnie, and, you know, huh?
That's cool. Philadelphia is a good place to be in this position.
Yeah, I it's not about me anymore. Like, I know I'm very strong in myself. I know why my marriage ended. I'm good with myself. I'm good with where I am now. I feel horrible for my kids. That I think their friends whose parents are divorced are different than themselves. Like, it's hard for them, in particular, like my older kids, like to say, nobody's divorce is like mine.
And that's true. I just want to bring one last caller on who might want to shed some insight. Hello?
Sure.
Hello?
Hi, it's Dana. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Dana. How are you, honey?
Getting better, thank you.
Good. Glad to hear that.
I had to tell Tracy, she ripped my heart out when she said there's a difference between being alone and lonely. And it is amazing, the difference. And the other thing I was so struck with is who's telling these gals they can't tell. Is it male attorneys?
Yes. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Oh, my God. Pardon?
That doesn't surprise me that it's male attorneys.
Actually, my husband's attorney was a female.
Really?
Yeah.
And she was the one that went for the non-disclosure?
You know, I don't know, because it was in mediation and we were in separate rooms, so I don't know how the whole thing came about. You know,
well,
I,
if it's a male attorney, they ought to take him out and hang him up by their thing. If there's a female, I don't know, there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, he just wanted, you know, he just didn't want me out there blabbing stuff. And the thing is, I had had from February to August that I could have blabbed my heart out, and I didn't do it.
I bet you're sorry now.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
there's some things I would have done differently, you know, some things I would have done just the same.
Well, we can just tell people we both want boyfriends.
I do want to say one thing that, you know, I'm going to be working on this upcoming year, and I think this was inspired by something I said last week. And I think where these marriages are so different, the divorces are so different, and they can't be treated like a straight divorce, because they're not the same. They have so many different dynamics. And, you know, when I hear things and the stories that I hear from Kathy, from Maggie, about what you can say and what you can't say, you know, it really makes me ill. And
outrageous.
One of the things I'm going to be fighting for, I took out a domain, and I'll be putting up a website with the name of www.yourfaultdivorce.com. And I really want to start a movement. It just burns me up that women have to pay for divorces from gay men, that they have to live by these kind of rules. And I think it's certainly not just with gay men, any kind of woman who's in any kind of abusive situation, that I don't believe in no-fault divorce. I believe it is your fault, you know, and I believe that you should be the one responsible for picking up the pieces and having to pay for these situations, that it's just not fair to women. And I think
maybe we should try
to
breach of contract action.
Pardon me?
Maybe we should try a breach of contract action.
Well, I mean, we got to try something, because I just don't feel that it's fair that these, you know, marriages are treated like everybody else's marriage when they're not like them. You know, we have
That's
to deal
right.
with all these issues. We go into the marriages, you know, with good faith. And I'm not saying that the men didn't try or the men didn't want to try, but the bottom line is they had information that we didn't have.
At least
if we would have had that information, we could have made a different decision. Or at least we would have known what we were walking into. But when we walk blindly into something, and I would say that the overwhelming majority of these men, even if they haven't come to terms with it or they can't accept it about themselves, they know that there's something going on within themselves. They know that they're having these feelings or they're having these urges. And in many cases, they've already acted on it. I mean, you know, I'm not going to pretend like most of them haven't tried something, because they have. And we don't have that information, and it's not fair to us.
Absolutely.
So I'm really going to be pushing for that, and I hope all of you will be helping me with this campaign of Your Fault Divorce.
I like that name.
Thank you.
And the heartbeat. You can count me in.
I'm going to count everybody in because I just think it's ridiculous that we have to live under these standards. It's really unfair. Dana, have you children that you have to deal with?
I'm sorry?
Do you have children that you have to deal with this issue with?
Yeah, my name is Dana, and my son outed my husband and brought it to my attention. But they're both grown kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that necessarily makes it easier. It may make it more painful because my son was homophobic to begin with. So it was good for him as far as that goes because I hoped he developed a whole lot of empathy that this man was born this way, period. And nobody could make me heterosexual. I don't know. I think from that standpoint, my son has had to grow a lot. The first words out of his mouth, because he's always been an acting out problem kid, is, "Do you think my dad messed with me when I was little?"
Uh-huh.
And I mustered as much confidence and everything I could to tell him, "Absolutely not." And I said, "But ask your father." Uh-huh. And so he did. So I think they've developed some kind of a decent relationship, finally. When I told my son that I was leaving, I took each one of my family out and said, "I'm leaving." And I was with my son, and he said, "Mom, you don't have to say a thing to me. I know just how you feel." But I didn't know he was gay at the time. I was leaving because I just was going crazy, and I was depressed, and I was miserable, and I had no sex, and I had no male, female, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I tell women that's enough of a reason to leave. You don't have to look for find your husband in bed with a man. You just have to know that there's something wrong with your marriage. So anyway,
but it's hard unless you know something. I mean, you
that's
try
true.
To understand. Well, that's what we're for. You know, women are nurturers and lovers and givers, and we try to understand and make things right. And guess what?
Doesn't
always work.
But ladies, unfortunately, we're at the end of our time, and I can't thank all of you enough, Tracy and Maggie and Dana, you know, for all of you coming on and sharing your experiences with us. And I'm certainly hoping that, and Kathy, that you'll call us back in the next week or two and continue on with this wonderful conversation.
Absolutely.
I want to wish you all a happy Mother's Day. And
happy
thank
you.
The fact that you have to contend with the fact you have to contend with all these additional issues, and hopefully it'll shed some insight to other mothers. And if you are looking for support, just contact me at bondk@AOL or go to my website at www.gayhusbands.com. And I'll be happy to send you Misty's information about her upcoming workshops. And if you are in the New York area and would like to get together with us on May 22nd for a very wonderful afternoon and evening, just drop me a note and I'll be happy to put you on our list. So, ladies,
is there anything new on the September, October?
We're going to be in Florida November, the first week in November. So keep us in mind for that also.
Excellent.
And, yeah, we'll be letting you know every place we're going. So ladies, I just want to say good night to all of you.
Good night. Good night, Missy.
Okay, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Bye.
All right, love to all of you.
Take care. Love you, Bonnie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love to all. Good night. Bye-bye.